America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
Without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. Soul, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Take a break. Breathe. Why don't you visit the Peace Village Learning and Retreat Center, 518-589-5000.
Sister Jenna and the American Meditating Radio Show are the key to peace, truth, beauty, and all that is good in the world, which is why I am a confirmed listener. This is Valerie Alexander, author of Happiness as a Second Language.
I'm Roger Nelson. I'm the founder and director of the Global Consciousness Project, and you are listening to America Meditating Radio Show.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raj Yoga Meditation, Positive Thinking, Stress-Free Living, and Personal Development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
If I had one wish.
Everyone, and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was One Wish by Bliss. Just absolutely beautiful, wasn't it? I just love her. Lucinda Drayton. Get her songs, all of them. She's just, that's all I want to play on the show anyway. It's just her music. I just love it. We're happy that you can join us today. I had an incredible meeting at the White House. And we were there for the screening of Roots, the remake of Roots. Can you believe it? And there we were sitting with Valerie Jarrett, the senior advisor to the president, and an incredible, intelligent, a wonderful woman of wisdom, and a group of leaders within the White House. And there we were watching the journey of slavery. And understanding that it's important for this current generation to know what was endured and that now it's time for us to rise even greater. And for all, it wasn't really a remake of a black and white. To me, I think in watching the first episode of 4 series that's going to be launched on Memorial Day on the History Channel, which I recommend the family to watch together, but to please be mindful that there are some graphic scenes there which you might want to protect your young child from viewing. But that the fact that, you know, everyone has to rise, black, white, red, blue, rich, poor, tall, short, American, non-American. That this roots to me took me back to the seed, our relationship with God. And if we're disconnected from the seed, we can do horrendous things to each other. But if we're connected to the seed, we can show our divinity with each other. And the story and the mysteries of life and rebirth continue to plague our, I guess, our ego mind. There are certain things that are so deep and so divine. I believe that if we silence our mind, we can find answers. And I feel that if the silence is balanced with enough true wisdom, a universal wisdom, it can give us a lot of enlightenment. Enlightenment isn't the final destination. It's, I think, the way that you treat each other along the way. And when we can be kind and understanding and accepting of people, even if they might be different in their approach or opinion of how they perceive or interpret a particular scene or item or idea, I think it shows how illuminated we are. And sometimes we go through such horrible experiences and we can't find the meaning. But today we have author Matthew McKay, who went through extreme ways to understand the truth about death and the invisible universe after losing his son, Jordan. So please stay tuned as we have this heart-to-heart conversation with Matthew McKay. Before I get Matthew on the air, I would like us to turn the lines to our beloved Sister Gita and see what reading she has for us today. Sister Gita.
Om Shanti is a greeting of peace. And that those two letters have such deep meaning. Firstly, to recall, originally we are pure, peaceful, loving, very happy, very wise. And these are the qualities that make everyone happy, myself to begin with, and others also. This is a gift of peace book, Thoughts for a Peaceful World. When you do not upset yourself thinking about how others must change, and instead you concentrate on your own change, good things start to happen. First, you will feel better about yourself. Secondly, you will start to have positive feelings towards others and start to understand them. Third, others start having a more positive attitude towards you. There are many hidden benefits in personal change. Please, let's change. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
the time that we choose to be aware. It doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. About connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender. Discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time,
Welcome back. That was Letting Go from Off the Grid into the Heart Meditation CD by yours truly, and the wonderful reading by Sister Gita. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. Author Matthew McKay is a clinical psychologist and a believer in science, a skeptic who's been given knowledge far beyond anything he hoped for or imagined. When Matthew's son, Jordan, was murdered, he set out on a quest to discover the truth about why we're here and what happens when we die. He became determined to listen and look for his dead son in any way he could. Matthew is the author of Seeking Jordan, How I Learned the Truth About Death and the Invisible Universe, and numerous other books. He is also a professor at the Wright Institute in Berkeley, California, and founder and publisher at New Harbinger Publications. Today we welcome Matthew to the air. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. I was talking to Sister Gita about your journey and what it just is like, you know, like it must be waves for you. Like sometimes you just go through waves, you know, where you're okay with the unfolding of the story around you. And then there are times that you must be feeling so not okay and so angry, or maybe not. And it's like, how have you been processing the loss of Jordan?
It's exactly as you describe, it's waves.
Mm-hmm.
There are waves of missing the physical person of my son, someone I could hug and talk to and have present in my life and watch his life unfold. It's just a tremendous sense of wishing that I could have that again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are waves of, and in fact, a kind of under note now of a sense of confidence and that he is present, he is with me, and that I can reach him really anytime I need to talk to him. I can initiate a conversation, and having developed more and more confidence and belief that that is happening, that that can happen anytime.
Let's talk about that, because I know that maybe one of the questions that I was, you know, requested to ask you was about the way the whole transitioning of Jordan took place, but I don't want us to go there. I want to talk about the way that you found Jordan, even after death, that compelling the need to connect on a soul-to-soul level, and that's something that I really advocate in my spiritual practice, is that I am convinced, Matthew, that we are souls, and as a soul, we've come with a story, and the story really never ends. It just changes. It changes, and sometimes we're playing the part in this costume, and then we leave this costume, maybe called Jordan or Matthew or Jenna, and then we find ourselves in another costume, and then we might be bumping into each other. It's just a different name, different title, different character. We don't really know, but somehow there's a connection. But then there's also some of us that believe, okay, maybe we go to another side of consciousness and we tap into just the energy of that person, because really we were always having a relationship with the energy. Can you speak a little bit more to what happened with your quest in wanting to connect to Matthew even now it wouldn't be in a physical form? Could you tell us a little bit about how that actually unfolded for you?
It started really, I think, as it starts for anyone who's lost someone they love deeply. I wanted to know if Jordan still existed, his soul
mm-hmm.
was still aware, and I wanted to know if he was okay. And so that was really the beginning of the quest for me, and the first step was doing something which is it's a strategy for communicating with those on the other side. It's called induced after-death communication, and I went and saw a specialist who did that or knew how to do that. And for the first time, I literally heard Jordan's voice after his death, and he had specific messages for myself, from my wife, and so I had that question answered, that he still exists, he loves us, he cares for us, he watches over us, and he's in a good place. But I wanted more than that. I was relieved. I felt just a tremendous lightness after hearing his voice through that process. But I also wanted to talk to him, to have a real conversation, to be able to ask him. Well, he has access to amazing knowledge that I don't have, that when we incarnate, we forget everything, become amnesic of what the other life is. And so I wanted to actually be able to talk to him about the world he lives in. And so that launched me further into the journey of actually beginning to learn how to have that conversation.
And so I remembered once in India, and I'm sitting there in a room filled with folks from all over the world. And please note, I'm perhaps even a greater skeptic than you. Or I just don't believe in all that. You know. I'm surprised I even started to meditate. I'm into, let's look, make your life. This is what you got to do. These are your steps. So I'm in India, and I'm in a room with lots of folks, and I'm questioning my whole being, like, this is ridiculous. What am I doing here? God's not coming, or this cannot be God, or this was, you know, the interpretation of my meeting at the time. This was about 25 years ago. So I'm about to get up from that room, Matthew, and the entry took place, the entry of consciousness, let's just put it in a word that I can feel comfortable with, and something just blew over me very cool and very gently. And it was in the whole hall. And I said to myself, is this really God? I mean, and I felt so accepted and loved and embraced. And all of my life review of stuff that I've been through had emerged, but it just went to the wayside when I felt that vibration. And that was the first time I started to believe there is another mystical process that's taking place beyond our ego thinking. And so when you started to access the feeling of Jordan, was there a process that you went through? What was that like when you actually first had that encounter? How did you prepare for it? Does that make sense, the question?
No, absolutely it does. And how I prepared was I went to someone who was also a specialist in after-death communication. He taught me how to do channeled writing. And I'm not clairaudient. I don't have any psychic powers at all. And I was very skeptical that this was something that was even possible for me. But I followed the steps. I followed the procedure. And I discovered that I could actually begin to have a conversation with Jordan. It was very simple steps. You start with meditation. I just use a simple Vipassana meditation, breath-focused meditation. You need something to focus your attention. Usually candles are easy to, you know, bring your focal point to a candle. You need an object to connect you to the person on the other side, that soul on the other side, something that they gave you or something that they had. In my case, Jordan had printed up these business cards that said Jordan McKay, CEO of Omega Technologies, which didn't exist, but he, as a high schooler, used those cards to get into tech conventions. It reminded me of his... humor and his audacity. So I have that little card that I use to connect to him. It's just a physical object. And then you need some kind of intention. And so usually channeled writing or automatic writing, you have some physical notebook of some kind. And in a meditative state, when you get to that place of receptivity, you simply, my experience is I focus on Jordan and the connection of love between the two souls. And then I simply write the question. Wait a minute, usually a word or two will show up, and then it'll finish as a sentence, and then a whole string of sentences will start in response to that question.
Wow.
And it stops. Then I can write another question. And oftentimes the things that I'm getting, the answers I'm getting are coming so fast or are showing up almost as a complete awareness, even, and I have to find language to somehow surround it and make sense of it. But the experience is that I can ask virtually any question I can imagine, and Jordan will answer it. And the answers, one of the things that's been for me extraordinary about it and a great gift is that the answers in many cases are things I had never thought or ever conceived of and feel like they're very much outside of my awareness, and it feels like I'm some sort of opening is being made, some window to knowledge and a level of consciousness and a world that I have no access to in my physical body. So that has been an extraordinary, it's a beautiful experience, but at base what it has done is it's allowed me to feel and be supported by and experience virtually any time I want my relationship to the soul who was Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Now, has your perception of God changed at all during this time?
Yes, actually, it's changed very much. I mm-hmm. was basically just very agnostic. I mean, kind of dyed in the wool that I don't have any evidence of anything. I don't know. I don't know one way or the other. And what I've experienced with Jordan and what he's told me very directly is there is God, but that the God is all of us. It's all of consciousness. Every soul, all of consciousness, wherever it resides, is collectively God. And as God, there are several really important things that he said, that God continues to evolve, which was a very new concept to me. I grew up Catholic. The idea was that God is perfect, God is self-sufficient, and God does not grow or evolve at all. And God simply makes souls for their happiness. But what Jordan tells me is that God, all of collective consciousness, the all, actually evolves and continues to grow, continues to learn, continues to develop. And that all of us, the little individual souls that comprise the divine, our job is to go out and do a lot of that learning. We go out into the physical universe and we have these amazing experiences. We encounter incredible obstacles. We encounter extraordinary pain, which is one of the reasons why we enter the physical world, to actually understand what pain is and to seek to love in the face of all that pain. So we're in the physical world learning, gathering wisdom, and bringing it back to the all, to the collective consciousness, to the divine, to God. And God grows sort of the sacred mission that all of us have to go out and struggle in the world in order to learn.
Very interesting, indeed. Quite interesting. A little bit about the new book, Seeking Jordan, and why, Matthew, did you choose to write about all of this process? Is it to be of service to others who might be going through a similar situation, or was it a means to heal the tremendous feeling of whatever pain or loss that you might have endured? What's the purpose behind the book?
It wasn't really quite any of those things. At some point in my conversations with Jordan, you know, he had said an extraordinary number of things that meant a great deal to me and felt like it really changed my cosmology, my understanding of the purpose of life and what death is and how souls move back and forth between the physical plane and the life between lives. And all of this was just kind of extraordinary. And question came up, you know, what do we do with this? And and Jordan's response was, well, then let's do this book. Let's do a book, and we'll help people with this, and we can offer both the solace that the relationship to the ones we love after death is really uninterrupted. It goes on. It's there and available to us anytime we want to connect. Those souls are just a thought away. These are all things that Jordan felt could be of value that we could write about. And in the space of 5 minutes, he outlined the entire book, every part of it. And absolutely. And, you know, with that in mind, and he said, okay, the first part of the book, you're going to tell your story of your journey in, you know, how you came to find me again. And the whole last part of the book, we're going to look at all of these topics, these issues that people really are concerned about and want to know, and we're going to tackle them one after another. And what he essentially did was dictate the content of all of that last part of the book. Yeah,
that's really beautiful. So it goes to show that even if you didn't finish your work in your previous incarnation, if the love is deep enough, you can still touch the heart of someone that you love to still put that legacy on paper, perhaps. I don't know. I just find it all mystically amazing. Something that you said that I'm still percolating on, Matthew. Every lesson we learn here is taught by pain and persistence.
Yeah, that was the thing that, to say it in a colloquial way, it really blew my mind when Jordan talked about that actually pain is not a problem to be gotten rid of. It's not a sign of failure. It's not some, you know, it doesn't mean that we made some terrible mistake in our lives. That actually pain is the medium through which we learn. We make choices. We come here to make choices. Every day of our lives, we face choices, and the basically the choice is to, I mean, on a very simple level, it's to turn toward love or away from love. And because we live in a physical world that's so full of obstacles, of threats, of pain, emotional, physical, spiritual pain, we are having to find our way toward love through that pain. And so each choice we make is really about doing that, about finding love in the face of pain. And so he's been very clear with me that's our purpose here. And so it's a mission of great importance. And one of the ways he describes it is it's like you think of bees going out from a hive and they leave the hole, they leave the collective consciousness, the divine, and they come into a physical, they go out and look for nectar. Well, the souls go out to look for wisdom in this very difficult world. And knowledge in this very difficult world, and we bring it back, give it to the whole, to the divine, to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we and God grow in the face of all that. And then, of course, what happens is that, you know, what God does is use all that knowledge to create, and to create a new, more beautiful, more perfect universe. And that becomes the outcome of all that knowledge that we gather.
Mm-hmm. I get that. We really are. It's almost as if we're during all the pain and struggle and darkness, we're birthing the original nature of the self, which has been forgotten or merged under the consciousness of just illusion, something to that effect. One question that's emerging during our conversation, and we have reached the end of our wonderful dialogue. Have you ever wondered or thought to yourself, have you put your own personal life on pause by being overly consumed about Jordan and, you know, his journey?
Not at all. I feel like my relationship to Jordan now, you know, enhances my personal life. It's helped me clarify my life purpose and why I'm here. And it feels like it's enriched me enormously. And so even though he has left physical plane, his body is not here, I feel his soul as a constant presence in my life, helping to guide me, really, and live a much fuller way than I ever did before. So for me, paradoxically, the loss of my physical son has been, in spite of all
an
the
amplification
pain,
of a greater
you. Extraordinary gift. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. Wow, I love that. I love that. Matthew, I want to thank you for the gift that you've offered us, and I think we'd also like to thank Jordan for giving us hope and a deeper sense of conviction that God's good. And that if we keep qualifying ourselves to be better people, I think we can definitely usher in a much better society. In closing, leave us with a gift that you think is the greatest gift that you could offer to your own self that transmutes or transcends into our greater humanity. What's the vision that Matthew has for himself that would make our nation and our world a better place?
For me, it's to know that there is no loss and that we remain absolutely connected in love, not only to the ones that we know and remember as, you know, people in our lives that we love, souls that we love, but to everyone. We are connected by love to everyone. And if we can hold on to that, keep that knowledge, we will move toward a greater level of wisdom and beauty. When we forget, that's the definition of evil, forgetting that we're connected by love.
Beautiful. Well said. A website that our listeners can get in touch with you if they're interested?
SeekingJordan.com.
Matthew McKay, thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Incredible. Wasn't that conversation incredible? I mean, you know, the way I was decoding it as Matthew was sharing, like, he's now working with two engines, the engine of his own soul and the engine of Jordan. And together they can create this dynamic spark of hope and wisdom in the world. And it goes to show, you know, that when we're living too much in the matter consciousness, the body consciousness, where we're just so trapped in the color of the skin, the religion, the language, the nation, we have sort of lost sight of really the mystical powers that we innately are born with. And sometimes we actually have to leave our bodies to recognize how powerful we are. Is there a way that we could actually be in our bodies and be very powerful? I think so. Visit Matthew McCain's work that he's doing on SeekingJordan.com. I really enjoyed his discussion as he explores more the reason why we're here. Thank you so much for joining us on the air, my friends. Of course, I want you all to participate in the initiative, Meditate the Vote. So go to Facebook and Twitter and let us know your feedback on some of the core questions, or go to meditatethevote.com for more information. And let's see how we can amplify the conversation and broaden this overwhelming story that we have in front of us that perhaps could be paralyzing our ability to do something good about it. It's not about choosing a candidate or a political party. It's about choosing yourself to be more powerful so you can assist whoever actually ends up in office and see how best we can make our lives and the nation into a better place. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same. On behalf of Jordan, we would like to play this song for him, The Message Home.
You.